How to be a biblical servant. The introduction, what image comes to your mind when you think of a servant?
It's a kinti image
out of root.
I think that should have parenthesis around here or something for the title of a book. We can find somebody who's in the educational circles, they can help us with that. A nameless migrant worker, an ignorant, often mistreated individual lacking in human dignity, with virtually no self-esteem and without purpose in life. That's from Improving Your Serve. This one's pretty well worn, but I reread that again. It's helpful if you don't have it, haven't read it. It will exercise your faith. Swindoll says this middle image turns off completely. A few lines later, after linking the words leader and servant together, and he says, I didn't cotton to that much either. Didn't like that either. And says, me a fool, me a servant, you got to be kidding. And I think part of the reason that I repeated it is because I think that that sort of is my image. War, I guess. I don't know where he heard it first. But the way to determine whether or not a man really has a servant's heart. Most of you have heard that. Most of you have experienced that. I have a story in here on assuming I can find it when the time comes. From need one more sheet from Josh McDowell and what he went through. Some of you may have read in the name of the book, Josh, whatever. But it's the battle we fight. Listening, Marquis and I were listening to a tape from Mary Crowley. And Mary Crowley, I think we got the tape from Dobson, folks on the panel. Mary Crowley is the mother of Don Carter, Don Carter Lane, and maybe one of the most godly women that. That I've had any occasion to know of. She founded Home Interiors for some 10,000 to 11,000 women. So they could have the income without working outside the home. Out of the state. I think the title of the state, I don't know what I put on the paper, but the title of the state. What I would like to do, you have a package here, take this right transverse analysis. Some of you have done this, some of you haven't done this. We sort of did it last hour, except we didn't do cross-references, we didn't do problems. And I asked if we could do a workshop on it. And Crawford and Repass says, no, you don't do a workshop on that. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to spend 25, we've already spent 15 minutes of introduction. And I need to number you off by threes. And I'm going to have one-third of you do one passage, which is this John 13:17. And another group do the second passage, which is Matthew 20. And a third group do a third passage. And they're all down here, so you don't have to, you won't have to be flipping back and forth in your Bible. I use King James. If you don't speak Old English, then you can read something else if you want to. But in that situation, the third one is Luke 10:40. And the passage is following that. The brief explanation of a verse analysis, in addition to, you can tear that last sheet off if it's easier to work with that way. I think it will be. And I've got, I thought we might try to do three of them in an hour and a half, and it usually takes about 25 minutes to do one. So tear that off. And I guess the next thing we need to do is number off. Would you rather do 1, 2, 3 or ABC? We'll do 1, 2, 3. Okay, this guy, that way he doesn't have to take his shoes off. Okay.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
You know what you have to do here. You have to remember which one you were. Okay? All right, we quit with 3 again?
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Hello.
2, 3.
Good, and back to you.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we'll come back and get the hall. You want to get the hall? No, let's go across the hall. 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1. Out in the hall.
3, 1, 2, 3.
All right, good enough. All right, we got to 1, 2, 3 anyway.
How far did we go away?
No. Yeah. Well, is there something going on in the dining hall? We might still be some cookies over there. Coffee.
No,
they're all gone? All right, this guy checked it out. All right, let me see where you are in 20 minutes. As I say, the guys that I've been doing it with the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's taken 25 minutes. And for those of you who are standing, I guess you want to find a place to sit or something, wherever you can write. But what we're doing, you see the instructions down there, and that's out of the 2-7 series, course 9, session, course 2, I'm sorry, session 9, the pages and what have you. I changed that a little, but we want to write the thought of the verse in your own words. In this particular situation, the verse that we're after is verse 16 in the first passage. And so with 16, that means you'll have to combine 14 and 15. The main thing I want you to get is verse 17. How many? I don't know, John. What are you after? What are you thinking?
I'll try to get a head count. Maybe we'll play better next
time. Try to get a head count. Well, we just count off by threes. How many sets do we have? You can count. Okay, good. Did you get these in the ante room here? Okay. All right. And so you're going to rewrite the thought of the verse in your own words, and you've just done that in your Bible study. I want you to get the thought of the verse or two verses ahead of it, and the thought of the verse or two after it. And I got into this on scripture memory. And I have had problems with scripture memory over the years. And I begin doing this on my verses, and man, they come alive. And you know, there was a reason why I memorized them to start with, but they've gotten old, they've gotten dead, I've used them. And man, you go back and do a verse analysis on it, and get 2 or 3 in the head and 2 or 3 behind, and man, alive, it's just like neon sign there. Hey, now hear this, you know. It's that kind of a deal. All right. Riggs, you've got the statement in there, telling is not teaching, listening is not learning. We learn to do by doing, so that's what we're going to do. All right, the second batch, another word of instruction there. You've torn that last sheet off. Turn to Matthew 20, 25 through 28. And your key verse there, the one you want to put in your own words, is verse 28. And so that way I don't have one after it, really, because it really changes, the paragraph changes. So that's, but 28 is the verse you want.
Mark 10:45 is a cross-reference. We've got a cross-reference. Same idea, except they get Mrs. Zebedee in there. And then the last one, Mary and Martha, for my number threes. Verse 40 is the verse that you want to center on. And really, you can that's poor instruction. You can do 39 in there. For before, you really can't do that with Matthew. But you can do 39. Do you have any questions at this point in time?
What was the verse and the cross-reference for number one?
I didn't give you a cross-reference for number one, did I?
Okay.
No. The foot washing is that's it. John 13. Oh, the key verse. The key verse, the verse we're doing is 16, because the message I want you to get is in 17. Yes, sir. Question?
Yes, I count number two, and I don't know which verse.
Oh, for number two will be the... be the top of the second page, Roman numeral 3. Next incident in the life of the disciples, which will be Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. Okay, and the key verse that you want there is verse 28. So you can zero in, you can zero in on 27 if you want to, and that'll let you get 28. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good question. Any other questions? All right, I've talked for another 5 minutes. Let's see where you are 20 minutes from now, and I won't say anything. I'm sworn to silence. but I'm not sure that we ever get through with the book. We did not start with a word of prayer. If we can do that quickly, we will do that. Father, we thank you for your word written and living in the person of Jesus Christ. We look, first of all, at this passage in John, and all three of them involving the life of Christ. I ask that you teach us from it, and that you'd make of us men after God's own heart. We give you praise and glory and honor for that, that we pray in Christ. Okay, from some of my ones, we're working on John 13. What did you, somebody, a couple, two or three of you read on, read what you wrote for a paraphrase. Somebody that, of the particular verse itself. Don't all speak at once.
I summed it up like this.
Good.
This is the future. There is due with the owner of the time to go in and take care of it. And to be the owner of the
church. Cooper, somebody else. Okay, a little different. Good. Steve? Don't like to be called a child. You got some of them that told me aware of that.
Trying to raise those renegades. So Ward's comment with what at age 12, 13, ought to put them in a 55-gallon drum and seal them up and break the seal when they're 21. He had a little experience in that area. That's right.
Somebody else. Interrupt a minute and ask, how many of you guys in this room are meeting with at least one other guy on a one-on-one relationship? Most of them. We're in, Steve and some of the rest of these guys, we're in an unusual church, Denton Bible. I've been written up for the Navigators, and I don't know who all else, but mentioned one of Larry Burkett's books because we're debt-free. Put the money up front for you to buy the lumber and concrete and what have you. But our pastor is a graduate of DTS, and you know, I have been through, I think, three times his hermeneutics there in terms of observation, interpretation, and application. But I do not know. I checked the court on that before I came. I do not know a man in our church who is doing that on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. It's too much. And so what we have in verse analysis is something that a guy can do in 15, 20, 25 minutes, and you can meet with him over coffee, you can meet with him over lunch, you can meet with him over dinner, whatever you do. At first he's prayed together, and he's discovered something for himself. And what you discover for yourself, part of the reason we spent 25 minutes of silence, so you could think and look at God's Word, is because what you discover for yourself, I don't know what the ratio is, but I think it's 10 times more important than what I tell you, even if I'm the world's most gifted speaker, which I'm not. Silence is the toughest thing in the world for a speaker. To just push and let people think, much less get into God's Word. What I wrote in working John 13, 16 was the one I want. Mark my words. The employee doesn't have more authority than his boss. Neither is the messenger more important than the creator of the message or the one who sent him. Is that, is that anointed? No. But he puts it in my words in terms of what's going on here. All right, let's go on to the verse after that on some of these other guys. If we can get somebody else. Who did the verse before, which would have been 14, I guess. That's 16, 14, and 15. Somebody do 14 and 15? Anybody? John 13, 14, and 15. Nobody did that? Jesus showed us how to serve. Okay, that's pretty short and simple and to the point. Okay. Oh. You don't believe that, do you? What had just happened here? I made reference to it earlier. What had Jesus done in John 13? Washed the feet of the disciples. Now, whose place is it to wash the disciples' feet? Servants. Well, man, my name's Peter. My name's John. My name's James. Me? I'm one of the servants. May not draw. So Jesus washed their feet. And Yang, I tell you, any of you at Dallas Promise Keepers this year? What did the man do in the first service? Yeah. He knelt right there in the stadium and washed your wife's feet. Skip was with us for a conference, men's conference, in October, November. And his comment was, guys, he says, slow down. He says, it is significant that Jesus did not go galloping through Galilee. He did not go jogging through Judea. He did not go sprinting through Samaria. The woman healed of the issue of blood for however many years reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. So sometimes the hemorrhaging woman is your wife. And if she reached out to touch the hem of your garment, she'd fall flat of her face. Because you're going so, lickety-split, she'd fall on her face. You're not there. And so the question, for you, for me, is not always what am I doing, but what am I getting? And we're making the transition to 18 inches from the head to the heart. Out of the head and into the life. And that's where I feel battle. 50 years, 50 years, walking with the Lord. And the battle I still fight is the battle that Adam, battle, it may have been a bottle, battle of the bottle. The battle that Adam fought in the garden. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And God and the church and my wife and everybody else can go jump in the lake. And some of you have been through that. I remember thinking, boy, when I get to college, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then I got to college and I thought, well, boy, when I get out of college and go to work, then I'm going to do what I want to do. And I thought, boy, when I get a wife, in my own family and house, then I'm going to do what I want to do. Guys, you don't ever get to the place where you're going to do what you want. My mother's 88 now. And gifted woman. Sharp as a tack. Ran Cook County politics before he was out of office. Four times to the governor's ball while out on Shivers with the governor. Made the Democratic National Committee. College fund, they say that a mine is a good thing. Prepare us for what we go through with our parents and our loved ones. All right, 14 and 15 for whatever it's worth. As your commanding officer, I have done for you that which you were not willing to do for each other and for me. You ought to be willing to render the lowliest of service to each other. In 15, I've set the pace, shown you what and how to do for others, what I've done to you, for you. And then on to the third part, the verse after that. What do you have on... Before, after, this would be the verse after. This would be 17. What is it? 17. If you know these things, happier if you do them. What did you put down for that? Bless you. Is there a verse in James says something about hearing and doing? What is that verse? Forget what you saw. Now, some of us would like to do that with the mirror these days. Look in and walk away and forget what we see, particularly if we get a little older. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And that's the message. All right, we may be jumping a little bit there. What you got down for a... What kept, that's in the problem. Okay. If you experientially know and practice serving others, you will be happy. And gang, I'm sure it's impacted you, but it impacts me. Hype. Advertising. Buy this car and you'll be happy. Get this set of cars for riding your bike or for working out at the gym or whatever, and you'll be happy. Buy this house. My hair care product. You'll be happy. Buy these clothes and you'll be successful and you'll be happy. And Jesus Christ says what? Baloney. Hey, I like that. Yeah, Humphrey's version there. Baloney. Well, what is the Greek for that? Yeah. What you got down? Well, I don't know what else. Happiness comes from what? Serving others. In the other book, Man of Honor by Ray Pritchard, the foreword by Tony Evans, I jotted down the deal on John 13. Why do we wash others' feet? Because Jesus did it, because dirty feet need washing, and because we're blessed when we do it. That's pretty simple, you know. Here then is the whole chapter in one sentence. The followers of Jesus distinguish themselves through humble acts of service. This is the kicker. To those who don't expect it and who are unable to repay it. Boy, that gets awful close to the truth. But that's where happiness comes from. And as I say, I have no idea how many billion dollars are spent looking for happiness, all the way from toothpaste and underarms to clothes. One of the guys here, Rennie Austin, down from Falcon Jet there in Little Rock, and we toured the plant a week or so ago. He said, "Straight, we could fix you up one of these for about 28 mil." And
And I says, are they cheaper by the dozen? And he says, well, they probably are. And I says, good, a dozen about as reachable for it. I'm turning one in. $28 million for a private airplane, private jet air.
Why do people buy it? Make you happy. Yeah.
Mountain climbing doesn't make it for you. All right. And what you got down for a problem? Anybody get a problem? On John 13? There are no problems in John 13. Oh. Think, think. Oh, hi, yes. This is a guy who spent more time in Asia than the rest of us. Think, think. It, Lauren's brother, Lynn, standing. We were out there years ago, and I don't remember what we were doing. I think the day was the Bermuda grass. We were stopping around the roof of this almond tree there. And that's of course, chosen to work. You get a shovel, and you learn how to use it pretty quickly, or you've got a broken back almost. But Lynn says, Tracy, have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus called Lazarus to death? And he left the disciples to take his brother's grave. And what did the sister say after he'd been dead for 3 days? Lord, he what? Same thing as Roy's feet. Lord, he stinketh. After 3 days in the grave, yes. Yes. So who removes the grave clothes? Folks like me and you. Sure. Jesus, could Jesus have removed the grave clothes? Certainly. But he chose to let you and I have a part of the action. Did he want us to speak to the multitude? No. Yes. Just wants to get the grave clothes off. Get the dirt off the feet. All right. I believe it will get through by the way. Other problem? I think that's enough. What? Oh, bless you. Amen. That's right. The problem that I wrote down was what kept each one of the 12 from washing feet? Washing feet of the others. What do you think the answer to that is? John 13:10. What is that one? Not John. Proverbs 13:10. What does it say? Husband, wife, father, child, employer, employee, only by Christ come of what? And you can have an airline strike, you know, case in point, or the hassle you had with your wife or one of your children that you walked out the door. What a problem. Take two hard heads to have an argument. You can't have an argument with just one hard head. All right. And in terms of cross-referencing, what did you dine out for cross-referencing? What? Mark 10:45. Super. What does Mark 10:45 say? I thought there would be a cross-referencing. Anybody else get another cross-reference? Same idea covered in John. No, we're in John. John 15:20. I'm not sure I remember what John 15. Anybody else got that one down? John 15:20. Well, he brought up a dirty word in there. Did you hear that? The word began with P. Well, Lord, it's glorious serving. Not so glorious being persecuted. And we haven't seen much of that in the U.S. If things continue as they are headed in the U.S. of A., especially through the court system, and you guys are aware of the fact that we no longer have majority rule. We now have minority rule through the courts. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to hurry. Are we not going to have time to be able to do that either? Another part of Colson's speech at Charlotte of what they had just done in Colorado. And just flat set aside, overruled the will of the people. On proposition, I don't remember what the number was. Majority. They said, no, you can't do that. All right, that's the side of the issue. Somebody in terms of
Somebody in terms of application, if you're not so personal that you do when you carry it with?
Judge.
That's right. It was overruled by a judge. That's why I say we no longer have majority rule. The majority of the people says, this is what we want to do. And the judge said, no, no, you can't do that. So one man overruled. We no longer have majority rule. We now have minority rule through the court. That's my statement. Yes, but it's going to be a federal case to...
literally federal case. With a federal judge, I assume it was, to get it changed. But we're changing it every day.
Personal application. John 13. On foot washing? Don't have any application. What?
Just do it.
All right, good. And what is that? Is that Nike? Yeah. Yeah. Turn to, I didn't give you other guys that much help, but but turn to page 3 on your handout, and out of this book again, Man of Honor, Living the Life of Godly Character with Ray Pritchard. You see 50 ways that he came up with his church staff. Running errands for a friend, baking cakes for a shut-in, opening your home for international students, giving $20 with a note of encouragement to a single mom, confronting a friend who strayed from the Lord, driving a carpool to a one-hour boys' brigade or whatever, making tape recordings for the blind, hugging your children every day, refusing to repeat gossip, sending flowers to a friend, meeting a new Christian at 6:30 a.m. for discipleship. Hey, you might even do verse analysis with it. You got to do John 13:17. Picking up your own dirty underwear? Yeah. Why don't you pick up somebody else's own dirty underwear? Yeah, picking up your own now, that's right. Got to start somewhere. All right, good. Giving anonymously so 3 teenagers can go to camp. It said snow camp, and I wasn't sure I had room for that. Intervening in a quarrel to bring 2 friends back together. Buying food for the food pantry. Tutoring Vietnamese immigrants. Helping a friend light the pilot in his heater. If you're doing that now, he's probably already frozen to that. All right, writing your parents a love note. Cleaning up the kitchen so your wife can read the paper. How you like that one, guys? Boy, that's the worm has turned there. Complimenting your boss.
Well, if you don't know who my boss, that's a big order.
Keeping a secret you really like to share.
Story on that. We'll pass it.
Spending Saturday helping a friend move.
Greater love hath no man than this. We help a friend move.
Breaking leaves. Most of you've done some of that, sounds like. Changing your oil in a friend's car?
I have trouble getting my own changed, much less friends.
Making supper for a new mom. Forgiving a friend to save the relationship. Visiting a nursing home. How many of you have parents in a nursing home? Had one. 2 or 3 years ago when we started visiting, I made the statement coming out of that, and you're overcome frequently by the odors and by the, be gracious, by the condition of the people therein, and the helplessness, really. And my comment was, and even with Mother having been there for almost a year, it was at this conference in 1987, and again, that part had stopped. I sat in on the first meeting, and that was the death. He died about 7:30. I sat in on my workshop. It was on claiming the promises of God. I told him, and I told you, Roy Robertson, to share with us on claiming the promises of God. We're in worse shape than we've ever been. It was a good time. But that's been 87, 97, 10 years. And things have changed in another block. But my comment was that what we're doing in the nursing home is warehousing people. And it breaks your heart. It breaks my heart. My brother, I think, has almost quit coming home. He's in China because he can't handle it.
My brother does not know the Lord. If you want somebody to pray for, I'll pray for Ed. Jerry Clubb. I've been praying for him once a year. I'm hoping for Howard Hendricks for 40 years, you know. And it may be a little softening, tied to what's going on in Mom's life. Visiting a nursing home, that's where I took off. Typing a term paper for a college student, counseling at Crisis Pregnancy Center. A guy will be here this afternoon from the Crisis Pregnancy Center. His wife is the director. And this guy is a young pastor, Baptist pastor. And the two of them are coming together. But this school, Ken White, I think they've had 25 ladies, 25 to 35, come to Christ this year. Unwed mothers. And this particular lady, I don't know how many counselors they have, this lady has had over half of them. Which means she has a real burden. She understands what John 13 is about. Foot washing. Loving the unlovely. And so she has a heart for the Lord, she has a heart for people, and she's available. Father Richard Gregory, basically. That's out of the thing that we talk about, fat, faithful, available, teachable. I think the key may be the available. We get so busy we don't have time. Well, I go get saved, Lord. I don't have time to help my neighbor. I don't have time to mow the lawn, raise his leaves, help him change the car. I've got this Bible study to go. And after all, I'm speaking, you know. There's a bigger place. And after all, inviting college students over for Sunday dinner. The last one I did, they was out of house and home. Volunteering to serve in the nursery. Oh, now there's Jolly. Washing windows at the church, reading books to children. I read this with our small group director, Brad Davis. He says, those are the easy. We've got a story somewhere down here, if I can find it. And that's where I've got it. No, that is where I've got it. 1951, two Americans were invited to Taiwan, our Presbyterian pastor and his wife, Jim and Lillian Dixon. Jim had been ministering to the Aborigines on the backside of the island of Taiwan. And two Americans ministered to these Aboriginal believers for 10 days, 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks, through the training center established for that purpose. And Leo, pastor, Aborigines, the Aboriginal pastor, didn't remember the name of the two Americans, Dawson Trotman and Roy Robertson, but he did remember that the shorter man of the two was just coming. Oh, yes, he polished my shoes. He polished my shoes. Dawson Trotman, head of the navigator, polishing the shoes of an Aboriginal pastor. And I think, Roy, the rest of the details, a number of people had been invited, but only two Americans elected to go because they were Aboriginal. Yes? Yes. And the other thing that's interesting is in Taiwan, they fertilize the fields with human feces. So polishing shoes in Taiwan is a little different challenge than it would be here. It's not quite like walking through the airport and putting it up there and shine, shoe shine, boy. It's a different ballgame. But sir, didn't remember the man's name. And remember that he polished. All right, we never will get through it. All right, we've used up two-thirds of our time study-wise, and we have covered the first passage. Anybody else have anything else they want to say on John 13? Going once, going twice, going three times. All right, for our guys who did Matthew 20, somebody tell us what you did on... On Matthew 20, I did Mark 10:45, and after 44, after I did it, then I decided that this was a better passage. Perhaps, maybe because it got... I never heard James and John's mother referred to as Mrs. Zebedee. And that was true. Somebody who did, out of my two groups, somebody who did rewrite, verse, paraphrase, read it for us quickly.
Good. Somebody else. Super. Good. Good. Anybody else? Mark, not Matthew. The position of the number one man is available to anyone. That's whosoever. Same thing as John 3:16. Whosoever. But the requirement is that you must be willing to be a servant of the others. And I did the verse before that. Context. Somebody share that with me. Guys. Ooh, yeah. Did you hear that? In God's system, the greatest are those who humble themselves and put others before them. Something to that effect? Good. Anybody else on too? Great. Like it. Like it. Rulers of the Gentiles exercise authority over them, i.e. lordship. Part of the 42-43, and this is Mark, essentially the same passage. That's not the way it is to be with the 12 of you. Any one of you who wants to be great will minister to the needs of the others. How many of you have had the experience of running or helping to run a conference like this or something else? Several of you have. Crawford may be the first guy I heard finish this statement for me. Conferences are for the people who, not for the people who supply the blank. Conferences are for the people who what? Who come. It's not for the people who put it on. Why? Because the people who put it on work their fool heads off, for better, lack of a better word. And in the midst of it, people ask, how's it going? I said, I have no earthly idea. Ask me after the fact or after I've read the evaluation. Because you're so busy putting out fires trying to anticipate what may come unglued next thing that it's it. But what is it? It's an opportunity to serve. How much appreciation do you get for it? Frequently not much. Robinson, you made the statement the other day that you'd had the privilege of organizing some 42 citywide crusades in Asia. How much thanks and appreciation do you get for that? Not much. A lot of criticism. Why did you do it then? Why did you do it? Trying to serve the Lord. The people need to know the Lord. This is an opportunity. And it gives other guys an opportunity to... Conferences to give guys an opportunity, new guys, to give them an opportunity to serve. It's one thing for Lord and Sandy to preach on it. It's something else for Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Jerry to preach on it. So you have a conference so new guys can preach on it. Crawford makes a statement, you know, in terms of Bible study, that thoughts disentangle themselves as they pass over the lips and through the fingertips. That's why I've had you writing this morning. Hopefully you've gotten some things that you didn't have when you came in. All right, I'll hush. All right. What?
But I won't.
You won't?
Because the place that we're least likely to apply this passage is going to be in our home. For some reason or another, we decided that the home is...
Tip in just another foot or so.
The home is based on Ephesians 5, you know, where the wife is rich, and they say, okay, that means the guys in the house and you're running out of money. And so we have a
well done. We'll let you come out of the closet again. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I wish I'd thought of that. All right. I'm lost. Did we do the after? Did the before? Did we do the? Have we done the after? Huh? There is no verse after. Okay, in 45, we did 44, there was. Now hear this. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to pay the ultimate price. i.e. give his life, that man might be freed, i.e. not have to pay the price.
For sin, that idea.
Cross-references? What'd you get for cross-references? You get any cross-references? And what is the passage on John? He must increase, but I must decrease. What? 330. Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's great.
Whatever makes common sense, do the opposite and hug being done this way.
Oh, man, I missed that. I'm sorry. And we're already in two. What'd you get out of, back to John 13? What'd you get out of verse 3? I had it jotted down there. What'd you get out of verse 3? Yeah, bottom page. Bottom of the first page, the B part. While you're in John 13, look at verse 3. What are the questions you've answered? Is Jesus answered them, free to serve others? And Jesus, knowing that all that the Father had given all things into his hand, and whence he came, where he came from, and where he was going. What is it that frees you up, frees me up to serve? When I don't have to fight the ego problem. I don't have to impress you. And if I don't have to impress you, then I can wash your feet. Or take off your grave clothes. Or minister down on Skid Row. Mother Teresa. That's right. And that's what Brad said. He says, the things that are listed there, he says, those are the easy things. Slugging it out over a matter of a year or two or three with an alcoholic looking at divorce. And you clean them up and you put them to bed. And yeah. Loving the unloving. Okay? Thank the Lord for Jesus. And God through him loved the unlovely. Or we wouldn't be here today. When the good book says that all our righteousness, our degree, our Boy Scout motto, our United Way giving, Jesus said it's all as filthy rags. And you know what the real meaning of that? Minstrel, menses, dirty kotek. I don't know what word you want to use for that. All our righteousness are filthy rags before him. And so the way up is that. All right. But the eternal questions of why am I here? What is my purpose in life? We talked a year or so ago about a mission statement out of the Seven Habits in Covey. And where did I come from? And I choose to believe that I am not an accident of nature, a mass of protoplasm, you know, that happenstance moved upon. I choose to believe that I was created by God. And I choose to believe that I'm going to spend eternity with him. So I know where I came from, I know where I'm going, and I know why I'm here now. Isaiah 58, 11 and 12. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste place. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to God. Roy had four or five guys from Florida and from California and from, where's Bill from? Chicago? Shell? Grand Rapids, Michigan. And from Minneapolis, and Graham Crusade, four different organizations. In his house before they, 4 or 5 days of prayer, where they started, was on the promises of God that God had given each. Which time? And then prayer, and then seeing where God will direct and lead next. All right, I'm back into Matthew, or to what did you do on? Do you got down any? Have any problem on James and John and Mrs. Zebedee? Were there any problems there? Don't have any problems. And if you told them, I'm going to cut out. And so Mom says, hey, let my boy sit on your right hand and your left. And I call that DR, drive for recognition. Power, authority, you know. Well, yeah, I'd just send the right-hand man. I'd really like to be first, but the Lord's got that position, you know. So I'll settle for second, or second and third. Is anything wrong with a mother wanting that first son? Maybe that's not the right question. Wrong. Is it natural for a mother to want that for her children? The answer is yes. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. All right, my comment. Am I ready to serve my brothers? The other disciples? Or my fellow man in general? That was the question. That's what it really means. And any of you wrestle with that? I have not done all my homework on it, but I think it's probably my serving my brother. And sometimes my brothers are the toughest to serve. And so on. Application? Somebody have an application on that one? My friend in the closet. You understand and be recognized again? Carry on. Say it. That statement in here of you do the dishes so she can read the paper, I read that and I laughed out loud. Why did I laugh out loud? Because it is so anti to the way I think and the way we think and operate. And God has given me a godly wife. Otherwise, she would have brained me and shipped me out years ago. So, all right. Some help. The other aside, the B part on that one, is what's the result of James, John, and Mrs. Zebedee's drive for recognition? What does it say in verse 10? Oh, verse 24, I'm sorry. That the 10 were what? The 10 were what?
Indignant.
Resentment. Will it happen? Every time. What was your reaction? Maybe yours wasn't. My reaction to Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest. Something like a something sting like a bee, I'll get him in three, or whatever that routine was. I don't even remember the phraseology. What was the phraseology? Can you help me with that? Huh? What? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah, I don't even remember who the opponent was. Yeah? That's right, he did, and somebody commented. I made that reference. He said, well, but the end of a man's life is not always the same as it is in the beginning or in his prime. And if you have seen him recently, it's a pitiful situation. And guys, consolation for those of us who have just retired, 65 or plus, some here 75. But I think the statistics are that somewhere around 25, 29, that's where we peak out, and from there on it's downhill. Well, my teeth are not working the way they used to. My eyes are not working the way they used to. I can't hear. It's thunder, you know. The guy said, well, that's because you've run too many cases of shotgun shells through that old Model 12. And I said, well, he said, you need hearing. You know, you need muff. I said, well, I can't hear the quail get up. He said, well, that's a choice you have to make. I said, no, I've already made that choice. So, you know. All right. Personal application? Yeah. Lord, I'm as proud as any one of the 12. I like being honored, being served by others versus serving them. I confess this is sin and ask your help to see opportunities to serve others, especially when I'm tired and or unappreciated. And so, all right. We've got the other side in there, and we'd like to share that with you. Boy, we may not get to number 3. This is from chapter 12 of Simply Josh, and I've got it's a book. So he had peace for the time being about Paula. And I don't know what the context of that was. Josh's spirit was still suffering. He was a seminary graduate. He'd been with Campus Crusade for 4 years and had never taught a seminary at a seminar at a conference. He'd been coming to these navigators' conferences there, T-Men's, for 13 years and never had been asked to do a workshop yet. All he had ever done was take care of the book table area. They're free, or at least ours are. And make sandwiches, etc., for those who were witnessing. Have you ever made 1,000 sandwiches? Have you ever put the four spiritual ball booklet inside the sandwich with peanut butter? Evidently he did. He just didn't feel appreciated. Campus Crusade didn't realize what they had. I mean, you know, I am the greatest. Then suddenly his hour of glory came. He got a call from Ted Martin, Crusade's Institute of Biblical Studies, to teach at the IBS meeting later that year. He couldn't believe it. He'd gone from nothing to everything all at once. He prepared thoroughly for nearly 6 months. He planned to teach a series from the Book of Romans, and when it was nearly time for the IBS meeting, he had a wealth of notes and materials. He was looking forward to speaking ministry. A week before he was to leave for IBS, Josh got a phone call from Bill Bright in California. This is a special year for staff training at Arrowhead Springs. He said, it's our international year, and we'll be having the largest staff we've ever had. Josh, our administration at the hotel has fallen apart. I need you to come back here and help me. Please make arrangements right away. I'd like for you to be back here in 3 days to take charge. Rain on your parade? God knows what we need, you know. And there was a pause on Josh's end of the line. He'd been looking forward to teaching at IBS. What an abominable sense of timing, he thought. I don't want to go. And I tell him, Josh, I need you, but repeated. Okay, I'll be there, he said, and hung up. Angrily, Josh threw his clothes and books together and packed them into his car. He fumed all the way to California, and his attitude was no more pleasant when he arrived. His assignment was to supervise the 30 staff people and organize facilities for nearly 1,700 people from all over the world, all parts of the world. Josh stayed up all night the first few days trying to put together procedures and organization. He tried to establish a basic administrative plan to handle the logistics of hundreds of internationals expected. An inexperienced staff of 30 was no match for the 1,700 incoming people, many of whom had trouble with English. Some had customs regarding meals and housing, which were at odds with the best laid plans of Josh and his people. To make matters worse, the hotel's equipment would break down, but never when it was convenient. Sounds like we're under contract, doesn't it? Only when it caused further disruption. Finally, the proverbial straw. A terrible case of dysentery broke out. The sickness spread in a matter of 2 or 3 days to just about everyone. There were lines at every restroom, which were overworked to the point of breakdown also. Yeah. Josh found himself with a bucket, mop, and toilet plunger in hand, making the rounds of the restroom. The rest of the staff was either out sick or tied up with the needs of meals and other chores. Josh himself was sick, but he had no time to think about it. Every toilet in the hotel and other building had to be scrubbed twice a day. He was working 20, 22 hours a day, able to catch only cat naps of 2 or 3 hours a night. Somehow it all got done, but Josh had not been able to attend a single meeting to hear any of the world-famous speakers brought in to the occasion. He did meet one of them, however. He had just finished with the toilet on the second floor and filled his bucket with fresh water. He picked up the plunger and started down the stairs to the lobby. There he ran into Bill Bright, escorting Billy Graham on a tour of the facility. Oh, Dr. Graham, he paused, waving to Josh. I'd like you to meet our Canadian director, Josh McDowell. The tall evangelist smiled gracefully and stuck out his head. Josh awkwardly sucked the plunger under his arm, took his bucket in his left hand, wiped his right hand on his shirt, and he sheepishly shook hands with Dr. Graham, with Billy Graham. As they walked away, Bill Bright remarked, you know, our staff people are devoted. They're willing to do anything. Josh wanted to shout after them, I'm not willing! The next morning, Josh nearly lost his temper when an assistant to Bill Bright stopped him. Those plastic flowers by the front desk are dusty. I'm sure Bill wouldn't appreciate it if he came by and saw they were dusty. You ought to dust them. Jane, I'm afraid at that point in time I would have pulled out my handkerchief and I said, help yourself, Jack. Oh, boy. Like somebody tried to figure out where to get a drink of water when the Titanic is sinking, you know. Yeah. Just don't understand the problem. Josh, imagine doing something else with the flowers.
love it. But he got out a rag and dusted them. In the afternoon, the brand new red carpet was finally vacuumed in the lobby. It was the last chore Josh had to do before he could finally go hear one of the speakers. At long last, he'd be able to participate in one of the meetings, which had been going well. Then Bill Bright rushed up to Josh. "Come here quickly," he called to Josh. The parking lot had just been tarred, and someone had obviously walked in and tracked in the thick, tacky tar. His footprints were visible across the length of the lobby. "Get something, some cleaner, some rag. Hurry, clean it up before it sets," Bill said. Bright said. It took all afternoon and most of the night to clean up the tar. The more cleaning solvent he rubbed into each spot, the bigger it got. It called for more scrubbing, hard scrubbing. A Crusade staff person came by just as he was finishing and teased him. "Scrub harder, slave. I still see some spots." He was joking, but Josh was obviously in no mood for humor. He was ready to throw in the towel, rather rag. Angrily, he stood and was all set to heave the solvent can at the front desk, to be followed by an extremely vocal resignation. Somehow the urge was checked. A sudden conviction came over him. No one was really out to get him. He had brought the attitude of bitterness with him from Canada. Josh recalled the feelings of repentance, the scriptures he had read in devotions that morning, describing how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Immediately, the thought came over him, if Jesus can wash their feet, why can't I scrub their floors and clean their toilets? It was an immediate lesson in submission. The Bible illustration seemed to burn into his spirit, all the more convicting because of the Lord's example and his nasty attitude. That night, Josh prayed for grace to be a true servant of Christ. He realized that before you can ever become a leader, you need to learn how to be a follower. And the next day, Josh began a new pattern of service. He went out of his way to find things that needed doing. He worked harder and later than anyone else. It was something he wanted, in italics, to do as a service to Christ, to make up for getting off on the wrong foot. For the next several weeks, he scrubbed harder and cleaner to learn submission. The Spirit was not lost to others. Bill Bright told Josh, God can teach us many things in a servant's role. When we first started, there were so many valuable things I learned by washing dishes, planting flowers, mowing the lawn, and yes, he laughed, even scrubbing latrines. It was a difficult time as Josh continued the backbreaking work of taking charge of the six-week international staff training. Because of the work, sleeplessness, and sickness, Josh lost over 20 pounds. There was difficulty also in measuring his progress in his quest for submission and acquiring the attitude of a servant. His first question was, what can a person learn through being a servant? Was Bill Bright merely trying to sound spiritual, by indicating God teaches us through submission? Sure, the Lord said, the greatest shall be least. But wouldn't it be better to use your abilities for God in an aggressive leadership capacity? Josh thought the church was lacking capable leaders and wondered if it was right to constantly put himself in that subservient role. Everything he heard from Christian leaders, plus what he read about the subject in the Bible, all pointed to that earlier conviction that God honors the servant and promotes the one who defers to others. It would be a lesson to consider again and again and again, not one easily lost. The last passage, which we did not get to, is Luke 10:40. But Martha was cumbered about with much service, much service. Says, Lord bid, came to Jesus and said, Lord bid my sister that she help me. And Jesus rebuked her and said, no, Mary has chosen the best part. And it shall not be taken away from her. And I'm not sure that it's true in your church, but in our church, we've got more activities going on than a three-ring circus. And it is possible for a guy to feel like he needs to be at church Sunday morning and Sunday night and help with lunch if possible and be there Wednesday night and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and miss his ministry to his wife, miss ministry to his children, to his neighbors, miss the one-on-one. Cumbered about with much service. So if that applies to you, fit, but I think that's about it. We haven't covered it all, but maybe we've scratched the surface. Let's pray and quit. Father, we thank you for your word and the fact that it continues to be possible for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that we as your servants, as your men, might be truly or thoroughly or completely cleansed and delivered from you. And I pray that it might have that ministry in our lives. Amen.
friends of James that we might not be forgetful hearers, but that we might do the Nike and the praise, that we might do it. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and honor that we say to you. Gang, I appreciate your patience, and especially those of you who stood and sit, aching backs and all the rest. Bless you.